going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into our coverage. TheTrainSouth.com, WWL Draft Fest rolling on. We are in day three of coverage. Doing a quick recap for you of the picks so far for the Saints. Going back to Thursday, round one, it was Kelvin Banks Jr., the Texas offensive tackle, going to the black and gold ninth overall. Day two, we were picking things up in the second round. They get their quarterback, Louisville's Tyler Shuck, getting the call at 40th overall for the Saints. In the third round, there were two selections. That would be Vernon Broughton, Texas defensive lineman, with pick number 71. Then at 93, Virginia safety Jonas Sanker. And then today we were been busy talking to a bunch of these guys as they've been picked. Oklahoma linebacker Danny Stutzman. Also Louisville corner Quincy Riley going in the fourth round. We just talked to Kansas running back Devin Neal, who went in the sixth, 184th overall. Now we have two more selections left on the day in the seventh round. Pick number 248 and also number 254. Keep it locked right here as we roll on with our draft coverage, taking to the very end with our all-pro analysis. Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Mike Hawes, and myself, Steve Geller. Right now, though, time for our top-of-the-hour news break. We'll go back to our WWL studios downtown. Yes, indeed, back into our Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. We're at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. From the Rouse's in Metairie, we're going to go back to the Saints facility over at Airline Drive, where we check in with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. How are things going over there, Jeff?
You know, I feel like I've been living in this room for the last couple days, but yeah, I mean, we're getting down toward the end. It's a weird time in the draft because Saints have two picks left to make, but it's 40 picks away from where we sit right now. And you know, I think it's an interesting time because one thing that's become clear throughout the course of this draft, the Saints seem to fully intend to make 9 picks. And that's a lot of rookies to add to a team. And you've kind of seen them. They haven't doubled up at any position. I think they're kind of just going down the line and saying, okay, who do we like at this position? Who do we like at this position? And, you know, so it's tough to know who's going to be there in 40 picks. But the two spots that seem to still be staring at me, edge rusher, tight end. You know, we've already seen 4 Senior Bowl guys off the board. That's nothing new. The Saints love the Senior Bowl. So I think, you know, you look at it. I think Maliki Matavau, I believe is how you say it, tight end out of Louisville, makes a ton of sense to me. I think what the Saints need at the tight end position, you know, they have Juwan Johnson. They have kind of the move tight end. I think what they need is a bigger-bodied blocking tight end, and that's what Maliki is. He's about 6'6", 250. Yeah, he can move bodies. So that's kind of what I'm looking for of these next 2 picks.
Yeah, it's not like a flex tight end. Jeff, I was bringing this up to Hoss. You know, it's disappointing me because I think we guaranteed him right around $250,000 was the tight end from Colorado State last year. Remember the long hair with Hooker with Malika?
Dallin Hooker.
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, he's supposed to be tight end. I thought, because I remember watching that one game against Colorado. He was unbelievable. He's a good pass receiving tight end. But he was like kind of flashed, and he didn't really do anything. You think they gave up on him? Or what do you think about the tight end position? Because, but he's not like you saying. I like you brought that up, like blocking. Off the edge when you're trying to set the run.
Right.
And, you know, like, okay, you know, we'll
like
the call.
Josh Hill,
you
right?
block? Can you block? Not like can you go catch the ball. I want you to do that too. But I want you to block. Can you really set the edge and not get dominated? So I understand the point you're making. But what are your take on, like, going forward? Because they paid a lot of money. Number one, you know, we look at college free agents after the draft. Hoker was number one in the whole NFL and the money they guaranteed him. So what's the jury? What's your point on Hoker? What do you think in the future?
Yeah, I don't think they're giving up on him. I think, you know, he's going to stick around on the roster. It's a tough position to look at, right? When you're talking about those fringe roster guys who were on this roster last year because, in most cases, someone identified them from a previous regime and was like, hey, let's take a shot on this guy. I don't think everyone in that situation is going to be the case for this new regime. So we'll see what they look for at the tight end position. But no, I think he's going to be there. You need depth at tight end. We'll have to see how Foster Moreau comes back from the knee issue. He hurt his knee on the final drive of last season. So, you know, you talk about the runway to get back. That's about as short as it can possibly be, other than, you know, like Tano Bazinho actually getting hurt in the offseason. So, you know, his status is going to be interesting to watch.
Jeff.
But no, Hoker will be there. Go ahead.
And, you know, Jeff, what about Taysom Hill? I mean, man, we love us some Taysom Hill, Hoodat Nation. But his significant knee injury, and then you look at Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore knows Taysom Hill's a stud, but how healthy right. he is. I mean, that's the only question. Because you look at his age, to me, Taysom Hill, with his passion and how he played like a 20-year-old. Now, when you get older, it sucks. And if his knee's not healthy, that'll be interesting when it comes about with Taysom Hill, I think, also.
Yeah, and one of the issues with Taysom is, you know, I asked him last offseason, we were out in Irvine, and I said, hey, as you get older, do you have to kind of look at it and consider, I need to play a certain way to stay healthy, to be around for an entire season? And he looked at me straight in the face. He was like, I can't think that way. I can only know how to play one way. And in my words, he plays like a wrecking ball, like a snowplow. He's seeking contact at all times. And it's a tough way to live in the NFL, especially as you get older. You know, I don't know what his role is going to be. I don't know if he has a role in this offense, because I don't know if you can play him the way you've needed to play him. So it's going to be interesting. They're committed a lot of money to him. You know, no one's going to trade for a guy who's coming off a major knee injury. So we'll have to see. But I think they're kind of moving forward at the tight end position with some of these younger guys. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. I just think you look at that position and you want to play out of the 12 personnel a lot. You want two tight ends on the field, and I need one of those guys to be able to move bodies. You know, Taysom Hill, as good as he is, I wouldn't describe him as an elite blocking tight end. Foster is closer to that, but even he's not who I would call like a big bodied blocking tight end. So, you know, I think you want depth. You want to have bodies there. It's a position that, you know, takes a lot of contact. There are injuries, so you do need the depth. It's important to Kellen Moore's scheme. I just don't know how you factor Taysom Hill in there until he gets back on the field. You can see what he's able to do.
Well, Jeff, and I'm going to ask Mike this. Who do you look like in the modern-day NFL like the best edge-blocking tight end? Because I can tell you right now, I played with one of the best edge-blocking tight ends, and the reason why, not because I went against him, because Ricky Jackson went against him. Hobie Brenner, in the history of the NFL, is one of the best blocking tight ends out of USC, setting the edge. Ricky Jackson, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, says, oh, man, the game was easy. Practice was harder than the damn game. Going against Hobie Brenner, and now he's trying to set the edge. So, Mike, who would be that guy right now in the NFL?
Well,
that because, you know, you're going to set that edge. You can get the corner, a run. No, you want a pass receiving tight end. Now, if you could do both, but a run blocking tight end, I think sometimes don't get enough credit. What teams want to do? How you look at Goddard with the Eagles? What do you?
No, think? I mean, there
Goddard's
is an objective.
Yeah, yeah. Not that, today,
George Kittle is the answer to that question.
Into this deal. Clear.
Yeah, George Kittle.
I agree
Kittle?
With Jeff.
Yes.
I agree with Jeff that, and Deuce. It's Kittle. But who used to be? Rob Gronkowski.
Rob was like another
with the,
tackle.
With the Patriots.
Man, he could set that edge, and he would bury you as a run blocker. Like Tony Gonzalez, he could catch the ball, but he wasn't blocking anybody.
Yeah.
But today, I would say Kittle.
And then you look at Kelce, no, but Kittle, like you said, no.
Kelsey's a getting away guy.
Yeah. I'm talking about block, because Kelce got exposed when he was trying to block.
Yes.
You know, and stuff. But that's why I think Kellen Moore would love maybe because you look at Juwan Johnson. Okay, he's a receiver that became a tight end, like a smallish, a big receiver, a big receiver, a smallish tight end, but more a pass receiving tight end. Now, you might want to improve your blocking, but who is that guy? Because I'll tell you, coaches would love a tight end that could set the edge. Hobie Brenner, again, ran like a 4.8 40, Mike. I remember throwing him passes. He would sit in the zone. He would never get no yak. Like, you know, just catch it. But blocking, that guy, I think, is still important in this day and age, even though you think the game has somewhat changed, how you spread all around, RPOs. But a tight end that could set the edge, even like Kittle and the run game, coaches are aware of that to try and get an advantage, right? Because before you know it, you got a stud running back like Jente, whatever it might be. So let's say you set the edge, and the tight end, the tackle, the combination, they did their job, and all of a sudden, Jente's going, whether he bounced or whatever, the first contact, he already gained 3 or 4 yards, and then you're hitting him. And Mike is falling forward.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Thing, you know, you want to put in your scheme, but you got to have an individual or a player that could do the job. And that's few and far between. They don't have those guys that could set that edge. Because this day and age, you know, that's dirty work. Mike, what like a big player, or if you're a pass receiving tight end, I want to catch the damn ball. Blocking? I don't know about that. I might do that a little bit. But there's a market for that. When you look, you want to talk about there's not enough quarterbacks. There's not enough freaking tight ends that can run block.
Okay, one guy who's still available that can run block, Luke Lachey. Jim Lachey's son. Remember, Jim Lachey was the left tackle. He was with the Chargers for a while and then went to the old Washington Redskins. His son, Luke Lachey.
Now, where is he from, Mike?
Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. That's all Iowa does. They're like 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
That's where your best tight ends are coming from.
Right.
It's Iowa. They've been able to produce them year in and year out.
And the Iowa game is like 1967. It's like 13-10. They can't score. Their defense plays awesome, but they don't score any points. So I don't know. Mike, seventh round, Saints, draft that damn Iowa tight end.
Okay, he's 6'5" 3/4". He's 252 pounds.
I don't know. I'll draft him.
And he's got genetics. His dad was one of the best left tackles to ever play this game in Jim Lachey.
Well, and then, you know, you're going to bang heads and you punch him in the mouth, you block. I don't know. Seventh round, maybe it's another Zach Streif out of Northwestern. Look at the contribution. Come on. Why not take a flyer on him? I like that. We got it all solved for the Saints. We're trying to get a blocking tight end. We got it all figured out here, right here at Rouse's at Power Boulevard.
You know,
we're going to get a run blocking tight end out of Iowa.
In the seventh round in 2006, the guy the Saints picked played tight end at Hofstra.
That's
when he first started. Marcus Colston was a tight end one year.
And they don't even have football anymore.
No.
That's unbelievable. You were talking about that diamond in the rough and hit the lottery.
Okay, when Steve and I interviewed him for the Super Bowl, he was like, Coach Payton talked to me about playing the X and playing in the slot. I was like, Coach, I ain't never done any of it. He was like, oh, man, I was sort of overwhelmed.
I'm a tight end at Hofstra.
You know, I didn't know any of these positions and all these numbers and what all that meant.
When Marcus Colston showed up for the OTAs, the Saints almost thinking, like, well, that was a wasted pick because he was out of shape. And all of a sudden,
and the weather got him.
Yeah, yes. and the humidity is like, damn. And he goes, hey, look, I'm in the Burma jungle, the bridge over River Kwai. I mean, like all of a sudden. But then if you look at like OTAs compared to when he came to training camp, he was a different cat. He worked hard, Deuce, and all of a sudden the rest is history about Marcus Colston and the back shoulder with Drew Brees and the trust factor. So, yeah, you know, there's still hope. There's still hope.
Jeff, they've been taking care of you over there at Saints camp?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're in a different room this time than we normally would be, but there's more comfy chairs. It's the team room with the big old TV, and there's actually a podium, and, you know, it's been good. I'm highly caffeinated, but it is leaving me. We're getting down toward the end here, so I'm having a good time. How about y'all? How are you doing at Rouses? How are they treating you?
Hey, we doing awesome. We've been here a couple of times at Power Boulevard. You know, any Rouses is like number one. I mean, it's like big time. It ain't no Rouses don't fake the funk. I mean, you look at Rouses, they don't go half stepping. It's a real grocery store. It's like come on, it ain't shabby. I mean, you get whatever you want. Come on, did this day?
I tried to give you a deal or two earlier.
Deuce, I heard your deals. I love them. I love them. I tell you what, Rouses always has deals, and they always have great crawfish. It's crawfish season, and you know, whether you want to. You know what's crazy this day and age? My grandma and grandpa have been rolling over in their grave. Well, you can't boil your own damn crawfish. Well, now we got the convenience. All you got to do is eat them. They boil them for you, and it tastes unbelievable. They do a better job than even you could do. So I guess, I don't know, the camaraderie where you have a few drinks and you boil crawfish and you talk. But I'd rather, like, let them do all the work and just pick them up, and then you have a few drinks and crawfish.
And think about on Saturdays, they cook the steaks.
Oh, Mike, it's always something. It's always something. I guess it's the 21st century, and it's a good thing. You know, that's a positive thing.
I'll save some fried chicken for you, Jeff, for tomorrow morning show in the studio.
Man, the fried chicken's always awesome here. And I ate a couple of pieces. Always the finger sandwiches. Deuce, you and I ate a bunch of finger sandwiches. We're not even hungry. And then you end up eating them. You know what I end up doing, though, with the finger sandwiches?
That's why you got to get the little box, Bob. We mess up when we get the family size.
We got the big box.
Guys, it's puppy draft pick time. You're missing out.
Yeah, the puppy draft's on? Yeah, that's right. Is that on Nickelodeon or something?
Yes. It's on the NFL Network. You don't want to draft a puppy? Tyler Shuck would be very upset.
No, that's a bunch of Gen Z stuff. If they driving a damn puppy on the NFL Network, they don't need no damn puppy driving on NFL Network. Come on,
you guys didn't ask Tyler Shuck about the dog. He's got a dog named Murphy. He's named
Marshall.
After
Murphy.
No, it's Murphy. Yeah. It's Murphy. It's named
Murphy,
after the character in Interstellar. So we've got a dog.
Man, he can have
a
dog,
sci-fi
cat,
nerd.
Whatever.
Like, you know, as if I needed
more
reason.
He just needs
reason.
To be a dog on the field.
Hey, like, he can have a dog, cat. He can have whatever pet he wants, iguana or whatever. He just needs to kick ass in a Saints uniform.
I didn't notice the dog.
No, Mike and I saw the dog secondary.
Right. Yeah. Now, what I like, coming to New Orleans, which is a good thing, I don't mind him being married instead of being single because he's going to come home at night and he's going to study his game plan. That's a good thing.
Jeff, we'll be home at night soon enough. No, thanks for joining us right now. We'll be checking back with you again.
Sounds good, yeah.
We're here doing our draft coverage, WWL. Kansas actually tweeting out, congratulations, Who Dat Nation, on Twitter. You got a good one. Kansas's all-time rushing leader has the most rushing touchdowns, rushing yards, scrimmage touchdowns, and 100-plus yards rushing games in Kansas football history. That, of course, is new running back for the black and gold, and Devin Neal. We're taking a break here. Be back with more of our TrainSouth.com coverage right after this. Stay tuned on the big one at WWL right after this. Back here on our train.
TrainSouth.com. WWL Draft Fest coverage at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Looking at the draft board here in the round six. We're coming to a close and getting ready for round seven. Looking at the last few selections that were taken. At 212 overall, Rutgers corner, Robert Longerbeam going to the Baltimore Ravens. Then Montana State quarterback Tommy Mellott ending with the Raiders at 213. R.J. Mickens, Clemson safety going to the Chargers. Raiders were back on the clock and getting another quarterback, North Dakota State's Cam Miller. So back-to-back QB picks for the Raiders.
I'm scared of any North Dakota State quarterback. Why? Because they're Trey Lance. Yeah, I mean, look with the 49ers and what came about with Trey Lance.
But you blame the 49ers.
No, you blame the 49ers, right, because they overdrafted him.
Thank you.
Yeah, because Trey Lance, he's still in the league now. He's with the Cowgirls, right?
No, he left there.
He left there.
This past offseason. He left there this past offseason.
Isn't he with the Chargers now?
All I know is Trey
Lance. Look that up.
But what he's played a handful of games.
Yes.
You'd have to say that's a bust right now.
Correct, Mike. Chargers.
Yeah. Considering where he was drafted. That has to be a bust.
I remember.
Yeah, well, from where he was drafted. It wasn't fair to him.
That was a 49ers fault.
He played one game and then one season ahead of that. And you thought he was going to come in here and play in the NFL? That was humbling to him.
Yep.
Big time.
Man.
He wasn't ready for it.
He couldn't overtake Brock Purdy. Look where Brock Purdy was drafted. You know, we talk about later rounds coming out of Iowa State. And look where Brock Purdy's ready to beat a $40 million plus man compared to Trey Lance. That's why you got to look at the big picture. Don't look at it short term. Look at long term. That's why even as a Saints fan, you look at the quarterback position. You want an instant fix. We are drive-through society. You want it to be fixed now. It might get fixed. It might not. So you got to just keep plugging away. You got to keep plugging away until you get it right.
Well, we got a kicker that was off the board earlier. Now our first punter, gentlemen, the last pick of round six, Jeremy Crawshaw from going to the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton selected him.
Yeah, and, man, you know, one thing with Sean, he got no patience with punters and kickers.
Just punt the damn ball like y'all want you to or make the damn kick.
But
we had Thomas Morris. Look at Thomas Morris. Is Thomas Morris still kicking with the damn chance?
Yes.
God, that's legendary. But I mean, that Thomas Morris, that's unbelievable.
The one kicker Sean really liked, Will Lutz.
Yeah, and he brought him to Denver.
And he brought him to Denver.
Oh, you were able to get him from Baltimore.
Yeah. So, boy.
Thanks to Harbaugh.
Harbaugh helped us out on that.
For reason.
The only reason why.
Signed him after the preseason, before the first game.
So he just drafted a punter from where, Steve? I lost the train of thought.
Let me see where this kid's from. Sorry, hold on.
So, that's significant because it's not a free agent punter. It's a draft pick. So Sean's thinking, if you're going to use a draft pick on a specialist.
He better be damn good.
He's making the team.
Yeah.
He almost would totally suck. So Sean would be pissed off if they'd miss on a specialist.
Here's my deal. If I'm punting in Denver in that light.
The ball flies. You get an extra 4 to 7 yards.
More than that, Bobby.
Yeah. That's being conservative, dude.
Right.
There's got to be angle. So, Steve, did you pick it up yet? Or?
That's kind of the thing, though, when we were talking earlier about these undrafted free agents and their guaranteed contracts, like a Hulker, those guys are almost guaranteed practice squad because you've guaranteed their undrafted free agents.
Yeah, because you want to develop them.
Right.
Because you brought them on board. You come to our team. We like your skill set. And then we want you to be on the right. Yeah, Jeremy Crawshaw.
It's Crawshaw from Florida.
The punter.
And, man, he could crush it in Gainesville. And you talk about a thick-haired place to punt. He'll go punt a ball in Gainesville,
Mike,
Florida.
He's 6'3 and three quarters.
Look at his size. It's not like he's a small guy.
Watch how he hits a ball.
Yeah. Give me a punter who could punt it far and hit the right angles. You know, like a chip shot deuce when you're in the golf, and then you can put it inside.
Yeah.
Not inside the 20, because now they're all so damn good.
Inside the 10 to 15.
That's
10 years.
Yeah. Now you got to be inside the 15 or 10.
If you can't get it inside, pin them inside the 15 or 10, you're not doing the job.
What was the game? I never forget this. From Illinois, the punter, Steve Weatherford. Sean Payton chewed his ass out. We got a punt return.
Devin Hester.
Sean had told him, do not tow in Weatherford. He had a six-pack. He was in some damn Mardi Gras parade, if I can remember, without a shirt and all that. Steve Weatherford, he's punting, And he's saying, do not punt it to Devin Hester. And Weatherford puts it right to him, and he takes it to the house. And his ass is gone. Sean Payton said, what the hell? I just told you. Kick it out of bounds. Anglin, don't kick it to Devin Hester, Hall of Famer.
Sean cut him over in London.
Yeah. You ain't even going on the damn plane to go home. You ain't even on the damn plane to go home. You got to get your own flight from London to get back to America.
Think about Crawshaw. He averaged 46 yards a punt. And I'm just telling you, Gainesville, Florida, that air is so thick there to punt that ball.
And he's going to Denver.
And now he's going to Denver.
Or like Deuce said, he's going to add 8, 10 yards.
Easy.
Well, the first pick of round 7 is in. It's the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see what that is. And right after that on the clock will be the Atlanta Falcons. Haven't heard from them in a while.
Well, okay, I got to admit this. You might not want to. Y'all could critique me if I'm wrong.
Uh-oh.
I think the Falcons have become the Falcons. I think they've done well in the draft. I mean, I'm interested to see. I'm intrigued with our tackles against their edge rushes. No, it's a bunch of young cats, and who's going to win?
Well,
that's going to be interesting.
You got bookend tackles.
Yeah.
You got bookend tackles.
And bookend ends.
And bookend defensive ends. You know, and you think over the next 10 years,
yeah,
this will be the matchup that you have.
Yeah, both who's going to win?
I would be scared of Walker. I don't know how Pierce of, okay, if you cut up a little bit in college, now you got real money. Okay, and a lot of fame and fortune now in the NFL.
But wait, Mike, if he wants to get that second, that's the real payday, then you can't cut up too much.
Okay, all I know is Vic Beasley was a one-year guy.
Yeah.
And then he was in the witness protection agency
flash in the pan,
after that.
Flash in the
Nothing.
Pan. Flash
so
in the pan.
So my thing is, who can push the right buttons with James Pierce Jr., who's immensely gifted? Oh, my goodness, he can play. But okay, how do you get along with people? How do you kind of practice? All this other stuff. You're professional now. This is not back at University of Tennessee.
Well, Steve, run down the Falcons draft pick and compare them to the Saints. We can talk about that.
And they got two safeties.
They got two safeties, two
edge rushers.
Edge rushers.
Because it could be a win-win for both teams. We can do, Steve, I'm going to give you
You mentioned Jaylen Walker was in the first round along with James Pierce Jr. Third round, they got Xavier Watts, the safety out of
Notre Dame. I like him.
Oklahoma safety, Billy Bowman, went in the fourth round.
I don't know about him.
And right Billy. Now, this is their final pick coming up in the seventh round.
Billy is a small safety, but man, he pops it to you. And he's a coach now. Is it Jim Leopold? He was with the Saints for a short time. But he coached in Wisconsin. He's kind of about. That's who Billy Bowman Jr. reminds me of. He's a little like 5'9", and a little bit of change. But man, he's all over the field. He's like a heat-seeking missile. Wherever the ball is, he is. And they got him and Watts now at the safety position. And then you draft and give up a first-round pick next year for James Pierce Jr. I know Jaylen Walker can play. I don't have any doubt of that.
Dan, we wanted him with the Saints, to be honest. But no, it didn't happen. You know, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You either go the offensive or defensive side of the ball. But Steve, that's a show. That's a show. You know, Mike and I is going to break down the draft of the Silver Slipper come Monday night. So we always do that. That's a tradition. But I'm going to tell you, you know what's good future shows? We're heading into OTAs and the schedule coming out. It's like compare everybody's in the NFC South.
Right.
Okay, who did Tampa Bay pick?
You got
who did Carolina? Who did the Falcons? Because that, to me, when you talk about the draft, how you got to really build your team through the draft. Now, free agents help out. But, like, the future, that's going to be intriguing. Because right now, who's the top dog in the NFC South? They ain't even close until you knock them off. Fucking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Four straight.
And we won four straight before NFC South, the Saints.
Okay, but would you bet against them this year? Would you bet against
them? Not yet.
I wouldn't.
Not yet. I'm not going against Tampa Bay
in
the NFC South until you beat them. Because it'd be interesting to see. Okay, see, that's another thing.
So I got a question.
We're going to be here till
6. I got Tampa right here.
Well, are you saying bet against them to win the division, or are you saying bet against them for the Saints to beat them?
No, I say they win five times.
Yeah. Go 5 years in a row.
I think they win it five times.
And to win the NFC South. No,
I don't.
That's hard to do, Deuce.
Well, no, I don't know.
Who's going to beat them?
No, I understand.
You know who I think has a chance to beat them?
Falcons? Yeah, yeah, no, I'm not. The Falcons are going to be tough.
Speaking of the Falcons,
underachieve.
The Falcons pick in the seventh round here, guys. Wisconsin tackle Jack Nelson.
He's a big dude now. and they're trying to add some depth to their offensive line. They got a little age there, Deuce, along their offensive line. It's almost the same five guys we've seen, like, forever, huh?
Yeah, well, you end up losing what? They end up losing a guard. They got paid by Chicago. But outside of that, what is it, McCray? He got hurt against us in one game where he didn't play.
And then Lindstrom really got paid.
Yeah, and so, they've had a pretty good offensive line. And, you've had some stability there, and that's why they feel good with Penix there, but
that's the key to that season.
Yeah, if he plays just
like good,
I don't even know if it's good because you've got all of those weapons.
Right, he should play good.
That's what I'm saying, though, Bobby. if he can just play average,
yeah. He don't have to be exceptional. He don't have to be Jaden Daniels. He got a great supporting cast.
And that defense for them, if they can some way get some type of pass rush, right, which they should. Now, I do have one question. Losing Grady inside, how much does that hurt them?
He's been a stud for them. All I know is that's one guy. Even when the Falcons' defense sucked, he didn't suck.
So I want to know how much does that hurt them, because now can I stop the run? I mean, because we can talk about rushing the pass.
I'm going to run it right out.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can talk about rushing the pass all we want, but – can you stop the run?
No, amen. Amen. And then the chess match of that, dude.
They paid on Yamada, and then they drafted a kid from Clemson a year ago. I mean, he hardly played in the second round.
Right.
You picked him.
Right.
So Steve, we did looking at the Falcons. We have time right here. What about the Tampa Bay? Who does Tampa pick compared to what we pick?
Give it to them.
Their first round pick, they took a wide receiver, Emeka Abuka.
I like him a lot.
Ohio State.
Now watch these three that you're finna hear.
Because Chris Godwin is getting older, coming off the injury, and then I'm a Baker Mayfield fan.
Evans.
Right, exactly. Go ahead, Steve.
Then we're going a lot of defense here. Notre Dame corner Benjamin Morrison in the second round. Third round, Kansas State corner Jacob Parrish. In the fourth round, Carolina edge David Walker.
So, Mike.
From Central Arkansas.
And then another edge.
Yeah, another edge in the fifth round, SMU's Elijah Roberts.
So that's Central Arkansas
guy. And they have
a
seventh rounder left.
So Mike, that was one. Why is he still at Central Arkansas? Well,
he started
Did he get that Walmart money or something?
Central Arkansas, not Carolina.
Yeah, he was Central Arkansas.
Arkansas.
He started at South Arkansas. Transferred to Central Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
So I thought maybe he'd make one more move and be at Arkansas.
But he
was the conference player of the year last year.
Yeah, Bobby, get to Arkansas, you got that Walmart money.
No, Bobby. You know why, though? He's only six foot.
Oh, so he's an overachiever.
He's pure speed.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's just pure speed coming off the edge, but he's small.
So I don't know enough, Mike. Explain or deuce any of y'all. Okay, when you look at all those names, how do you view that?
Benjamin Morrison, if he's healthy. And, again, man, I always cringe when a – corner has a hip injury, because your ability to flex and turn and twist,
you can,
but again, I don't have all the medicals
that's not going away
with the Bucks have now. Parrish from Kansas State was a really good football player for them, and so, man, you got two corners and then the two edge rushers. Elijah Roberts, he's a speed edge rusher from SMU, and David Walker, he was not good. He was dominant. Now, again, you got to look at who he was going up against at Central Arkansas. But for a six-foot guy, man, his ability to bend and cut. And listen, he don't have a lot to bend at 6 foot tall. He gets around the edge. So, yeah, you can be a 6 foot five tackle. But if he gets around you, man, it doesn't matter if he's 6'4 or 6 foot.
Yeah, you could bend as long as you don't
run
fall
the ball
down.
I would run the ball.
You got to run right at him. That's the thing. Now, we come back from the break before Carolina.
We'll break down Carolina, right?
Oh, you look at Carolina. I mean, T-Mac, whatever receiver. Ever since DJ Moore left the Panthers, come on, you got to help out Lil Bryce some way. So,
well, now they got him and Leggett.
Hey, the only reason why I wanted T-Mac at number 9 with the Saints if we would have had Aaron Rodgers, because that would get the Who That Nation up. Now, we went in a different direction, but I'm saying you want to get, like, I want to be entertained. If they'd have had T-Mac can make contested catches and all that, and then with Aaron Rodgers, but we're not following the yellow brick road. We got a fork in the road, and we're taking a different fork. We're not going after Aaron Rodgers, T-Mac. Now, he's out of sight, out of mind. But that was a little fantasy I had about wanting to be entertained.
You
need better fantasy.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
No.
I think he's stretching.
I have a variety of fantasy.
Yeah,
we'll break down the Panthers draft right after this. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of TrainSouth.com's Draft Fest right here on WWL after the break. We're here with Saints legends Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, our draft analyst Mike Tatilia, and voice of the Saints Mike Hawes, bringing all the live action of the draft plus all-pro analysis. We're here in Metairie at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, the official supermarket of the Saints, breaking down the Saints draft and also talking about the NFC South. We talked about the Buccaneers. We talked about also the Atlanta Falcons, now getting into the Carolina Panthers. Bobby, their first round pick was Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona.
Yeah.
After that, in the second round, Nick Scarleton, Texas A&M edge, going to them with the 51st overall selection. Princely Umanmilan, Mississippi edge, right?
Ole Miss, yeah.
Umanmilan, he's the pass rush ace.
Yeah,
not run right at him.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, he
wants to rush the pass.
Oh, that's all he wants to do.
That was third. Two fourth round picks. Running back Trevor Etienne, we know well, out of Georgia. Also, Ohio State safety Lathan Ransom.
So, the one thing about, because the fans get intrigued with skill positions. You know, because this day and age, whether it's fantasy football or whatever, video game, whatever. So, the big receiver out of Arizona, even though it was a weak class, he makes contested catches. What do we hope for in Saints receivers? I don't care if it's Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed and all, whoever, and we got Brandon Cooks. Do they go up and snag the football? That's what, to me, it's like, that wasn't that bad a pass. Maybe make a great play. Well, that's what McMillan does at Arizona. Mike, a big receiver, and the big receiver we have right now on our team, who it is, Bum Means?
I think that.
Bum Means, did he play a couple of games? I mean, we're hoping for a month. I mean, a big guy at the University of Pittsburgh. You know, we got, but, well, Hoss, you got a probably opinion about that. The big, like, big receiver. And what we need to do.
You want to put Juwan in that category or no?
No. Okay. No, he's a tight end. He ain't no damn. I'm talking about a receiver. You're throwing a back shoulder fade out there. I don't know. The defensive back thinks he has good coverage. Not so fast. They just go up and snatch it. That's what the Tet. That's what the Tet McMillan does.
So you have Kevin Austin, 6'2". Brandon Cooks, 5'10". Bob Means, 6'2". Chris Olave, 6'. Dante Pettis, 6'1". Mason Tipton, 5'11". Cedric Wilson, 6'2". And Rashid Shaheed, 6'. That's your wide receiver room heading into this draft.
And yeah, I think some of that is some stretch.
The height. But the thing is, we don't view anyone like on our roster like what I'm saying. You want to run precise routes and get open. But sometimes, the ball's in the air, like going up for a rebound. Make a play on the ball. It's a 50-50 deal. It seems like 50-50 deal. Our receivers have not come down on the ball. You got to go back to Michael Thomas. Hate him or not, whatever. But, Michael Thomas was NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Again, not all NFC South are not a legit starter. He was NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Now you might say, well, after we paid him, then you guaranteed him $50 million, he went by the wayside. That's not true.
He had that big year right after he signed the
We paid
contract.
Him the big money, and he kicked ass. Then he was hurt all the time after that. But I just look at, because I play with a big receiver, like Aaron Martin. I look at Marcus Colston. I look at Michael Thomas. It's when all of a sudden the ball got to come out of your hand and you got to trust the receiver. I still think, even though we got Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, they are true number one. I think Chris Olave could be a number two for a number of teams. But to say he's a number one now he's dealing with all the concussions, I would say not so fast. So that's what's frustrating to me. Like, for instance, Steve, how many times I'm at the Super Bowl watching the Eagles and the Chiefs? I said, I'm looking at the Eagles receivers, A.J. Brown and Devontae. Chris Olave, as good as he is, he would be the third guy on that team. He wouldn't be one or two. So that's why right now, still receiver, a big receiver to help out whoever's the quarterback. Come on, I'm throwing the ball up to you. Just make a play on it. I don't think we're there yet. And Brandon Cooks, he was the number one. But Brandon Cooks, Chris Olave, Rashid, he can get yards after the catch, but it's more deep yards. I'm talking about you throw them a slant or a hitch, and they break a tackle. I look at Brandon Cooks, I don't know, catch the ball and they fall down. I mean, the jet sweep, they don't run no damn jet sweep. They don't get no yak.
Stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage.
I'm not hating.
Here at Rouse's Market and Power Boulevard. Stepping away, we're talking football here with Team WWL after this.